for Calgary Flames Hockey Talk.
Cuts made, PTOs in question. Preseason is almost history, and I'm ready for the regular season. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, a preseason edition, as we are just about ready to quit saying that and say regular season edition, which is, oh, good news. I am the host of the show, joined alongside me with my other host, Kyle Lewis. And, yeah, Kyle, are you ready for a good hour of Calgary Flames hockey talk?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty well, as you said, pretty well at the end of the line as far as preseason goes, as far as camp goes, a few more days, so ready to go.
Is it just me, or does like this preseason seem like it's going really slow?
I don't think it's just you. It definitely seems to be kind of dragging a bit. I mean, the roster decisions have been made fairly quickly, but the preseason itself is just like, okay, are we done yet?
Oh. I've had a hard time. I mean, like, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show how things have kind of come, I don't know, the questions have kind of been, I don't know, somewhat eliminated, wouldn't you say?
Pretty well all of them. A couple little exceptions. You know, we talked last week about Oliver Shillington's absence, which could be perhaps a little bit longer than maybe we hope, so that kind of raised a new question. But, I mean, apart from that, it's after the most recent round of cuts, it seems like it's pretty well set.
Yeah, I think so. Waiver signing that kind of shocked us all, but we'll dive into that, too. That's going to be interesting. Did you see Markstrom's new mask? What's your thoughts there?
Oh, super cool. I mean, anybody who's a fan of hockey has got to you know, really enjoy the Flames colorful history of masks, right? Going back to like Trevor Kidd and
his was awesome.
Iron Maiden mask. Yeah, the Dragon mask. Yeah, but the Iron Maiden ones that Turek had were great. But I mean, as far, and obviously Kipper's mask too, but as far as they all go, that's got to be one of the better ones I've seen.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I watched that video on it and I was like, man, that's pretty cool. Some changes at 960 this week. I listen to that every day. I don't know how many. I'm sure a lot of people that listen to us listen to that. I mean, it's, God, you're home for Flames. I mean, how do you not, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
George Russick joins the show this week, and I was kind of interested to see what that sounded like in the morning, and I kind of like him. But something came out this week, and I wanted to get your take on it. They had a big debate yesterday. It was either yesterday or the day before about jerseys, and I know you're a big jersey guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I got to talk to Kyle about this on the show because I want your take on this. Because when he first said it, I was like, this guy's full of it. And then as he was explaining it more, I was like, dude, I kind of agree with this guy. That is a little creepy. And maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. But he brought up the question, is it awkward and weird to wear a jersey with a player's name and number on the back of it that's younger than you are?
It's funny because I often think about like how, like when I was a kid going to junior hockey games, they all seem so big to me, and then I get older and older, and then older than them, and then way older than them.
I know.
So I guess to your point, I would have thought no, like who cares? But after hearing the argument, and yeah, to answer your question, I did hear it.
Did you? Okay, good.
Yeah, it's a little awkward, I guess. There's people that wear like hockey jerseys to like pro wrestling and like that kind of, you know what I mean? I don't get any of that either. So it's a lot of faux pas around jersey wearing to begin with.
Like I love jerseys. But I rarely find myself putting one on other than like to skate or, you know, but like I rarely will put one on and watch a game. I have them hanging. I have, like, jerseys in my house framed, like, cool ones, you know?
Yeah.
And I love the, like, there's no better jersey in professional sports than hockey jerseys. And if someone's going to argue with me on that, they can, like, yeah, kiss my ass because they're not winning that argument because there is nothing better than a hockey jersey. And when they brought this up, I was like, where are they going with this? And then as he explained his side of it, I was like, shit, this guy's right. This is weird.
Yeah.
And then, like, I could
kind of get on a winding road.
I kind of thought, well, I could see myself wearing like an Al MacInnis jersey or a Theo Fleury jersey because they're older than, you know. And then I started, you know, I'm like, gosh, they're not that much older than me. And then I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, that is a little weird for me to put, like, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of a player on the top of my head, you know. Like, if I had a Markstrom jersey, I mean, I'd probably wear it, but I don't know. Like, when you go to games at the Dome, do you wear a jersey? Because I don't. I find myself wearing a lot of quarter zips with Flames logos or something. I don't know.
I wear one when I go to a game.
Do you?
At the Dome.
Okay.
Especially during the playoffs.
Oh, I think you have to, or you're going to get your ass kicked, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, regular season, I generally do. If they're on the road, I definitely do.
Do you?
More important. On the road, yeah. I think it's fun. Well, it's fun to be that guy on the road. You know, I did it in Ottawa many times, Columbus, Washington, because you want to stand out. You want to get heckled. It's part of the experience.
I did it in Minnesota. When I went and saw the Flames in Vancouver, I did not. Oh, when I went to watch the Flames at Edmonton, I did not, which I should have.
Wow.
I should have because I sat.
Disappointed in you.
Yeah, that was a while ago. I'm a little disappointed in myself now that you say that. But you want to know something funny about that? So I go to this game in Edmonton, right? It's a Hockey Night in Canada battle. It's going to be a good one. And quite honestly, both teams at the time sucked. But still a battle of Alberta. And I get my tickets, and I bought them through this group that used to be based out of Winnipeg called Road Trips. And I don't know if you knew who that is, but they had some phenomenal road trips. And I would go on their road trips, and they were freaking great. And so we're in Edmonton, we're Hockey Night in Canada. And so I get the tickets they give you, you know, and I'm like finding my seat, and I'm like right like 6 rows over from the Zam door, about like 10 rows up, so like good seats. And my buddy and I are sitting next to 2 Edmonton Oilers season ticket holders. And I sat down, and he's like, oh, you're a Flames fan? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, geez, I thought Scott would have a little more respect than to sell tickets to somebody that's a Flames fan. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you probably got those tickets through. I said, so I explained where I got the tickets. And he's like, yeah, my buddy, or the guy that sits here, only makes it to half the game, so he sells off the other tickets.
Yeah.
Well, we end up talking to these 2 guys from Edmonton. Calgary ended up winning 6-3. Typical battle of Alberta. And we end up going to the bars with these guys after, and had a blast. I mean, these guys are just good guys. But it shows what rivalries do and how you can have a lot of fun with it, you know? And I don't know. I should have worn a jersey on it. I don't know. I just wanted to... get your take on that, though, because I thought it was a pretty good discussion.
Well, it is, and I find, like, the whole jersey thing, like I said, the guys that wear it to, and I got to pick on men here, because I think women are a lot smarter with just about everything they wear.
They are.
Yeah, it's so much classier. But, like a dude will wear a jersey, like I said, to a pro wrestling event, or to, like, an unrelated sport, or they'll just wear it around the city. And I kind of get it during, like, playoff time, whatever, but the pageantry around jerseys makes, like, no sense to me. And up until I heard that discussion the other day, I didn't think a lot about, you know, more to that point about wearing a jersey of a player that's younger than you. But there's no rules around jersey wearing, and I feel like there should be. Kind of like how you just shouldn't do the wave, but that still happens, right? In my personal opinion.
I have a rule that shouldn't happen with jerseys. You should not go to a Boston Bruins versus Montreal Canadiens game and wear a Calgary Flames jersey. That's stupid.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's stupid.
It's extremely stupid.
But you see it all the time.
You see it all the time. Constantly.
And some rings are worse.
It's like, yay, sports. Like, what?
I know. I don't understand that. It's like, that has nothing to do with what you're doing tonight. What are you doing? I don't know, but... All right, let's get on track here. I just needed to know your input on that. But today on the show, we're going to talk about the preseason games that we've since last week when we talked. And then we'll get into the good stuff. We'll talk Pacific Division. And Kyle and I are going to give our predictions on how we see the Pacific shaken out this year, and which could be a really interesting year for that division. And then we'll discuss a variety of Flames player predictions, and some of which are interesting, and Kyle might look at me a little bit side-eyed on a few of them, but that seems to be normal, right? And then we'll drive into some Flames news and talk about the cuts, the PTOs, and a surprise waiver pickup for the Flames. And then we'll wrap with some talk about preseason and the final two games against the Winnipeg Jets, one of which is being played right as we do this. And I think this will be done talking preseason then, and we can discuss regular season next week as we preview two big games to start the season off. But should be a good edition of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Kyle, let's talk preseason. And since we last talked, there's been a couple of games. There's been three. Two of against the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton came to Calgary and won. Or we beat them 4-0. And then we lost to Edmonton 2-1 in Edmonton. Flip-flop about rosters in Calgary was heavy dominated veteran on Calgary's end. And in Edmonton, it was heavily dominated veteran on the Oilers' side. And then on Monday night, Seattle came to the Saddle Dome, and it was a 4-1 win for the Flames. We're not talking about every game, but a couple things I want to talk about in these games is the fact that Michael Stone continues to score. Dylan Dubé continues to prove you right and surprise me. And
I'll take it.
And, you know, our goaltending is just flat-out amazing so far in the preseason. So your thoughts on those three topics?
Well, the goaltending thing up until tonight, seemingly. I know that Vladar was pulled and Dustin Wolf went in. I didn't see the goals yet, but based on what I saw on Twitter, it seems like he might have been a little bit shaky, although he's been phenomenal up until now, so I'm not going to put too much stock in that. We talked about that before. Goaltending is a huge strength of this team. Arguably the best goaltending depth in the league. As far as the other topics go, Michael Stone's scoring is super fun to watch, although I've noticed him standing around and losing his assignments a little more often than I'd like to see.
Okay, I saw you put that on Twitter, Kyle.
Yeah.
And I almost fired back at you, man. I was like, oh, man, we're going to argue on Twitter tonight. And then I thought twice about it because I thought, you know what, I did see a couple of I wouldn't see him say blatant like TJ Brody misses, but they were.
There was one I'd liken it to Brody. It's like he had no idea he's even playing hockey by the look on his face, but that was just one play.
As a whole, though, man, this guy's been good, man. He just.
Earned a contract. He's been very good.
His shot is different than a lot of other defensemen in the fact that it's very accurate. But he knows the height to shoot it. You know what I mean? He gets it just that, like that, about that 1.5 foot, between 1 foot and 1.5 foot off the ice, where it's very tippable. But even if it's not tipped, it's usually right over the top of the goalie's pad when he's going in the butterfly, and it's deadly. And it's a hard shot too. It's a heavy, heavy shot, and. I'm cheering for that guy. I am. I'm cheering for that guy.
I don't know how he doesn't get a deal at this point. I don't know how he didn't get a deal prior to all of this, because in my mind, there's other guys that got deals that hadn't necessarily earned one, in my opinion, and he's won based on his playoff performance last year and how little he costs. It's like, just give him a league minimum deal.
Mascheripane enters and plays against Seattle, and so does Tanev. Tanev scores right away. Were you happy to see them in the lineup, or happy, and then were you surprised to see them in the lineup?
A little bit surprised. Tanev, I was quite happy to see in the lineup. I think after the extent of his injuries, it was important to get him some reps in. Mascheripane as well, because he missed the very beginning of camp. I think with especially the Daryl Sutter team, it's really important to be a part of training camp. That's why I'm a little bit concerned about when Shillington comes back and what kind of shape he'll be in. But, you know, we have the defensive depth to cover that if you need some more time to get up to game speed. But I wasn't surprised to see the other one. I was definitely happy to see those guys get the reps. I feel like pretty well every player that we've wanted to see get some ice time has gotten the ice time. They haven't necessarily done what we've hoped with it, a la Sonny Milano, for example. But overall, like, we've seen a pretty good rotation of players through a camp.
Yeah, I would agree. I was happy to see both of them. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit worried about the Tanev situation because he's actually probably, according to what the doctor said, about a month ahead of time. And but would you expect anything less from Tanev, though? I mean, that's just so Tanev, though. I mean, and he'll come back, and he's going to be a warrior for us. And I got a buddy that's a Vancouver Canucks fan, and I hope he listens to this because this will make his blood pressure go up. I periodically text him just to irritate him.
And of course, I have Oilers fans all the time.
Today I was driving, and I just thought, so 3 years ago, Vancouver gave up Markstrom and Tanev for no return to their rivals. Like, how does that sit? And so I text him that. And, of course, he fired back. Well, what are we supposed to do? We had lost Demko to Seattle, and Tanev was injured all the time. I'm like, yeah, but you still lost two top-end players. Like,
well, and to be fair to him, I did not think a great deal of the Tanev signing would happen. I thought it was too much money and too much term for a guy that has always been a warrior, but he far exceeded my expectations as a Flame.
See, I was all for it, and I think one of the reasons I was all for it is because I wanted to prove my Vancouver Canuck friend wrong.
That's the only reason, of course. That's,
so I was like, hell yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad we got him, you know, but it could have went haywire for us too, so, and it didn't. So that's a good thing. But just two preseason games to go, and that'll be in the books. But let's roll on in and talk Pacific Division predictions. All right, predictions were a little hard for me, Kyle. And I did something I've never done before in predictions, and we're going to get to that. And it scares the shit out of me to do it, but we did it. But let's get right into it. And we're going to go 1 through 8, and we're going to start at the bottom. Who do you think is going to be the 8th team in the Pacific?
Actually, that was one of the harder ones. I kind of want to say San Jose, to be honest.
Really? I went back and forth.
Aging core. Who'd you go with?
I went with Seattle. And
yeah, that was my other pick.
I went back and forth on it just because I just thought, man, I just looked at their roster and I'm just like, man, there is just absolutely no hope in here. Like, just no hope. And
the only with Seattle is that they do have some good young talent that if they're a bit ahead of the curve, they might not finish dead last, but I totally see the merit and why you would have picked them.
Yeah. Did you have Seattle in 7th then?
I did.
Yeah, and I had San Jose in 7th. And I figured when we said that, we were going to just be flip-flop there. And I'm with you on both those two teams. I don't think there's a lot of hope. San Jose maybe has a little bit more upside. Yeah, it's going
to... Yeah, I think some, but I mean, they lost Brent Burns and... Vlasic is a shell of his former self. Carlson is an absolute shell of his former self. So barring some kind of a big rebound from one of their big-name players, they're going to be near the bottom of the barrel.
Be tough. In 6th, I had the Anaheim Ducks.
Likewise.
You did too. I like what they're doing in Anaheim, though. I really do. I think they're out. They're a ways out. But I don't think they're moving in the wrong direction.
No, they have, but see, the difference, and that's the big difference between Anaheim and San Jose in particular, Anaheim has some really strong young pieces. Zegras, obviously, John Gibson's still a great goaltender, Comtois, Steele. There's reasons to be optimistic in Anaheim, they're just not there yet.
Yeah. No, they're a ways out, yeah. I do like their goaltending, though. Here's where it's going to get a little bit rough and a little bit more difficult, and... In 5th, I went with Vegas, and I was where you did too, huh? I was scared.
Goaltending. Robin Leonard being out for the year, biggest thing.
That is exactly why I did it too. I looked at the roster and then I looked at their centers and I'm like, they don't.
Well, I'm gonna add to that because I don't know if we talked about this when I was guesting on the show last year with you, but the other thing about Vegas. And this is directed at all those Flames fans that some of them to this day still go on about why didn't we get Jack Eichel or wish we got Jack Eichel, whatever. Ooh, I know a lot of people who are in Buffalo, big-time Sabres fans. I know people who have worked for the Sabres. I've heard and seen and know, I think, enough about Jack Eichel to say, like, I don't think he's the pedigree of player people think he is. I think the skill's there, but I think he's very overrated, and I think that he's not the best guy in the room. And far be it for me to say any more than just based on conversations I've had with people that have been around him at different times in his career. But I, with the goaltending issue, you know, Eichel in my mind being a bit overhyped, and Vegas has had a phenomenal few years. I mean, they missed the playoffs, but that was kind of an anomaly. But I just, that division is tougher than people think it is. And without a strong goaltending tandem, I don't see them finishing very high.
I don't either. We're on the same page there. I looked at the same attributes you did and thought, I don't know how this team makes the playoffs. So I got them in fifth. In fourth, I had the Vancouver Canucks.
I did as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason, and we're going to have to switch this up. I'll go first on the next pick.
Yeah. yeah, because people get something different.
Yeah. So what's your reason for the Canucks?
I know. Okay. I think Vancouver has a good goalie. I think Demko is a top 10 goalie in the league.
I agree.
I think their defense is bottom third in the league. I don't think it's good at all.
Yeah,
I question their forward depth a little bit, and the fact that I don't think it's horrible. I know Vancouver fans are gonna probably send me a ton of hate mail. I don't think Pettersson is what he's cracked up to be. I think JT Miller is as good as it gets. And I don't think JT Miller is going to like the attitude in Vancouver. I think Vancouver's got a lot of players that don't have that I hate losing mentality that JT Miller has. And you saw yes. that frustration late in the year last year in Vancouver. That doesn't get any better.
Well, interestingly, Frank Saravelli in his predictions had predicted that Bruce Boudreau would be fired this year. And as we all know, coaches are fired because of poor performance. And in the case of the Canucks, could be because of a room that maybe is underachieving in some people's eyes. I think the Canucks have some really good pieces. I think Pettersson's a fairly elite talent. Horvat and Besser are quite good as well. I agree with you about the defensive depth being an issue. And as much as I think Demko's a good goaltender as well, I still think there's some growing pains there, especially behind that defense. So, and I'm going to use that as a segue. The reason I have the Canucks fourth is because I actually have LA at third.
So do I.
Okay, and based on how this has shaken down so far, I kind of figured that. The reason I have them at third is they have some exceptional young talent. Anze Kopitar is still a very effective player. I have many, many questions about Drew Doughty, but they've had so much youth come up through their team.
Durzi's amazing. So effective
thus far. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things to like about that team. Like, they're to me, like, one of the teams that has so far managed to transition from one core to the next very, very well.
Now they brought in Fiala. He's going to help them a ton.
Yeah, like 85 or 86 points last year.
Yeah.
That's a big scoring winger to add to that young lineup.
I like a lot about that lineup. There's a lot of...
I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs next year. I really wouldn't. I could see them upsetting somebody.
I could, too. Yeah. I love the direction they're going, and they did it quick, too. I mean, they turned it over quick, you know. And you know what? They made the hard decisions. And that's one of the things you see in the NHL a lot that the organizations won't do. I mean, they you know, Dustin Brown is gone, and I mean, they made some tough decisions. And
can you believe they made a statue of Dustin Brown? Did that surprise you?
Did they?
I'd heard that. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but apparently they're making a statue of Dustin Brown, which to me is, you know, he's not Bobby Orr or Wayne Gretzky or even Dale Hawerchuk of Winnipeg. I mean, that to me is like, really? That guy gets a statue?
Wow.
Yeah. My thoughts exactly. So this is where we're both going to get roasted, I'm sure, on social media, because we're going to appear, I'm assuming your prediction is the same as mine. I do have the Oilers at second.
I don't.
Do you have them at first?
I do. I have the Flames in second.
Okay.
And I'm going to explain it.
Well, you're going to have to.
here's the deal, Kyle. Last year, the Flames went virtually unscathed in injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They had if you, okay, Kyle, if we could have scripted out the season last year, we couldn't have written a better story. We had, like, 80% of the team had career years.
Yep.
Okay, I don't feel like we can replicate the career years thing. There's no way we play another 82 games and not have more injury issues. I don't see it happening. Now, I think the Flames are going to be a hell of a team, and that's something that, in the second part of this, I'm going to ask you, well, how many points do you think the Flames are going to have? Let's, you know what, screw it. Let's do it right now. I think the Flames are going to, we finished with 111 last year. I think we're going to be damn close. I think we're going to finish with 107. Just throwing out numbers here. But I look at Edmonton, and I like some of the things they've done. I still question their back end. I think Darnell Nurse is junk.
I do too.
I think Jack Campbell is an upgrade. Do I think he's an elite upgrade? No. I think he's a good upgrade, though.
Yep, I agree.
I think that team has some pretty decent forward depth now, which I haven't been able to say for about two decades. And I like what Edmonton's done, believe it or not. And I think Edmonton is going to be a good team this year. Now, I don't think they're going to blow us out of the water. I don't think they're going to win the Pacific by, you know, 8 points on us or anything silly like that. I think it's going to be a race. But I do think that we finish second, and I honestly don't know if I care. The only thing that scares me is that may set up an LA-Calgary first round. I'm not so sure I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough first-round matchup because whoever grabs the bottom of those Pacific seeds is going to be a dangerous team.
It's the playoffs.
The reason that I had Calgary ahead of Edmonton is one of the things you said. I think Darnell Nurse is awful. He's tremendously overrated, incredibly overpaid. And that's expected to be the number one defenseman. That's a huge problem. I agree that Jack Campbell's an upgrade. They have two of the best players in the league, obviously, in Draisaitl and McDavid. But, you know, the reasons Calgary lost to Edmonton, and there's quite a few of them, but, I mean, Markstrom was not great. Chris Tanev shouldn't have played at all. He was terribly injured and had no business being in those games.
And our stars let us down. Tkachuk was a ghost in that series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I think Calgary, and like you said, I think they're going to be very close. I still think Edmonton has a good team, and they've got some nice depth pieces, too. Like, you know, Derek Ryan's still there. I think their defense is fairly weak. Line for line, the Flames are a better team on paper, but Calgary also doesn't have the superstar power that the Oilers do. So I think it's going to be close, give Calgary the slight edge, because I think they're a better coach team. I think they're a better conditioned team. What that means in the playoffs, well, it could be the same story as last year. We'll see. But in terms of standings, I would go, you know, Calgary is going to have, I had a similar number. I was thinking, you know, you said 107. I was thinking maybe 105 points, a little bit below last year. The Oilers are right there at, you know, 101.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think the Pacific is different this year than last year.
Well, people keep saying it's weak, and it's really not. You've got strong teams and up-and-coming teams.
Strong at the top.
Yeah, but the teams, like we talked about LA, I mean, I just think it's a misnomer to call it a weak division. I'm not going to say it's the strongest in the league, because I think that would be a bit ridiculous to suggest at this point, there's some things happening.
I think San Jose and Seattle makes it look weak. But you Absolutely, could say yeah. that for Arizona and Chicago. You could say that for Phil. You know, there's a whole bunch of teams that are going to stink this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as the Connor Bedard race goes, I mean,
that might be more interesting than the Stanley Cup race.
Very well could be. And the thing with the Stanley Cup race, too, is like we always talk about, and I saw actually the odds today, one of the odds makers, Calgary had the highest chance at like 8.6% to win the Stanley Cup. And Toronto was right up there, too.
Yeah.
Now, these things mean nothing at the end of the day. They're, you know, just indicators of who are good teams. Yeah. But you always got to look out for those teams that, like, have already been there, done that. So, like, the Penguins could be a surprise team. Colorado just did it, could repeat. Tampa's still really strong. But just because they didn't win the Cup this year doesn't mean they've really declined at all in terms of how good they are.
Yeah. I just worry about, like, how many years can they play in the conference finals and hold up?
Yeah. You know? Well, that's it. That's a ton of miles, right? So
Who do you think makes the Western – this is where it's going to get a little wild. Who do you think makes the Western Conference finals?
That's a great question. Colorado for sure. I think they're too good not to be back there. Obviously, I want to say Calgary. I'd like to believe Calgary, but I could see it being LA, honestly.
I got Calgary versus Colorado in the conference finals. Yeah. And here's where it's going to get a little bit wild. I've got Calgary playing Carolina for the Stanley Cup. And I've never done this before, Kyle. I've got Calgary winning.
Wow.
And you know what? Well, I thought to myself is, you can't do that, Brad. You're going to jinx this team. And I thought, well, I've never done it before, and we've never won, so what the hell am I jinxing?
Yeah, well, shoot your shot, right?
Right.
Actually, a buddy of mine, he actually owns a bar here. He texted me earlier for some of my hockey picks, and he had said to me he had Carolina picked to win the Cup, mm-hmm. which I don't think is a bad pick at all.
I don't either.
They got Brent Burns now. Jacob Slavin is just so underrated, it's criminal. So that defense is pretty well stacked. As far as the Flames go, I mean they have all the pieces to do it. It's just really a matter of sorting out, you know, that right wing scoring side, yeah. top two lines, and then how those depth lines are going to shake out.
I was walking out of a junior hockey game on Friday night, and one of my buddies grabbed me. I didn't see him off standing off the side. He grabbed me. And he pulled me over there, and my little girl was with me, and he says, Brad, he says, your team, you know? And I said, yeah. He goes, they're going to win the Cup this year. And he's a diehard Oilers fan. And he says, he's followed hockey his whole life. He's a hockey guy. He goes, they're winning the Cup this year. He says, I'm a full believer in it. He says, they're going to win the Cup. He says, this is a good hockey team. He says, it's deeper than last year, it's better than last year, and they've added the size to take down the Oilers, is what he told me.
The size. See, I'm still worried about the Oilers' speed, right? I'm not a big size guy. I think it's important to a point, but...
He said, you know. Though, he goes, that size wears on them. It wears on them. Now, you can't have big, slow guys, and I don't think we do, but you look at, we added size with Huberdeau. Kadri's a. I mean, maybe you can argue with me. I think Kadri's more physical than Tkachuk.
I think they're similar, but yeah, I would say he's more physical. I definitely say. I don't. They're very similar in terms of how antagonistic they are, but.
He's going to be.
Actually, this is one of the things that you know, you and I discussed earlier as kind of a comparison in terms of like who you'd rather have. Mm-hmm. I think Kadri is a much better all-around player. I think Tkachuk has a very unique skill set.
Yep, he does. Kachuk's deadly in front of the net, like in low.
Yeah,
like he. I would argue that Matthew Tkachuk is the best tipper in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know anybody better.
I agree with that. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
I don't know anybody better. So we're missing that. But so I think, Kadri leaning on Draisaitl, I just think that starts to wear. And now we added Uyghur, who's not like the most physical guy, but can handle his own. That's just another guy on the back end that's a little bit quicker that can manage that size of McDavid, you know?
But he's probably the smartest defenseman on the team alongside Chris Tanev.
Yeah.
Like I said before, like really active stick and reads the plays really, really well. And I mean, to your point, like Kadri, you know, played against the Oilers in the playoffs last year. But it's funny to me because Kadri said when they won the Cup, you know, everybody that says I'm a liability in playoffs can kiss my ass. Tkachuk was something of a liability in playoffs.
Absolutely.
You know, that incredibly stupid fight in game one against Dallas where he allegedly broke his hand. Like he took himself pretty much out of that series.
He almost lost that series for us. Seriously.
It was incredibly stupid. Incredibly stupid. So, but, I mean, you know, it was what it was. We still had a couple of big plays. But to kind of get back on track here, I mean, if I have to pick who I want on my team to try and win a Cup, it's the guy that just won the Cup and playing like he does. He was a big part of that Avalanche team. So, no question.
So you kind of softly said L.A. from the West.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's crazy, Kyle.
I mean, it's so hard to stick to a prediction so steadfast early on, but I mean...
Well, they're a prediction.
It's not always... Yeah, it's not always who you think it's going to be, right? Like, we all kind of knew Colorado and Tampa would go far, and there'd be a good chance to play each other. But so many years, there's that surprise team. That's my surprise pick. If you want to know who I think, like, on paper should do it and probably would do it outside of a Cinderella story, it's probably the Flames. They're just... I have a couple small concerns that we've talked about a little bit now. We'll get more into, but it's they're a really, really strong team.
Let's roll through some just like some player predictions this year, and I kind of do this list every single year, and I think I've done it on the pod every year too. But we talk about like breakout player, disappointing player, rookie sensation, those kind of things. So let's kind of go through that. I'll read off what it is. You can go ahead first. I'm going to let you go first, and then we'll just kind of discuss it, and I'll give you my two cents on who I think too. But who do you think is going to be this year's Flames breakout player?
I pretty much said it last week, Dylan Dubé.
You did.
And then the coach kind of backed me up by saying, you know, nobody else has seized the spot.
Yeah, I'm a Kyle. I hate when everybody backs you up, man. And then, gosh, Kyle's right again.
Oh, that'll fall apart, though, because then I'm going to get cocky and it's all going to go to hell. So just bear with me.
You know who I got this year?
Wait on me.
You're going to think I'm crazy.
I already do, but go ahead.
I know. I think Adam Ruzicka is going to get a full-time spot. It's not going to be right away out of camp. But he's going to get it, and he's going to end up being an integral part of this team this year.
I'd love that, but I'd also be surprised, to be honest.
I would too, but it's my breakout guy.
I don't think it's crazy because he has all the tools to do it. I just don't know he's going to get the opportunity to really assert himself.
I'm with you on that, but I just feel like something's going to happen this year where he's going to be gifted the opportunity.
Well, it's going to be injuries, you know, God forbid, you know, we talked about it a little bit before, but there are going to be more injuries this year than there was last year, because mathematically there pretty well has to be.
There has to be. So that's kind of where I was thinking there. Surprise player. Lay it on me who you think is going to be this year's surprise player.
The big news, the new Big Z.
No way, really? Are you going with him?
Yeah, I watched a few highlights. I looked at some of his stat lines. Like, he's a bit of a project, as they always are at that size, but I think he's going to have a pretty decent season, and I think he's going to fit in really, really well with this team.
All right, I'm going to tell you mine, and you're probably going to just hang up on the show here, but you better not, but you probably will. I think by the end of the year, you're going to look at me and be like, I was wrong on Kevin Rooney.
Damn it, I knew you were going to say that. All right, now, I will admit... and it's funny because I tweeted about, you know, and I don't know if he'd already written this or if it was anything to do with what I tweeted, but Mike Gould actually did write an article about Kevin Rooney very shortly after I tweeted out about wanting to know more about him. So he was actually quite good in Jersey and fell apart in New York. And as it said, there's a couple highlights where there were low lights for him, standing still in a McDavid goal, which it could happen to anybody. Yeah. But then in the preseason game, you know, last week, same thing. Like, just, like, what are you doing? Like, move your feet.
He looked completely out of place the first three games. Completely.
Yeah, but then the last game, he looked fantastic. He was quick. He was making plays. He looked great with Backlund. Like, I hope I'm dead wrong about him, you know? But what I saw early, it's like, man, what is this guy doing?
He reminded me last year, and I think I talked to you about this. Last year, I was so like, what is Trevor Lewis doing?
Hey, easy on the Lewises, okay?
And then by the end of the year, like, I'm like, why wouldn't Trevor Lewis be in the lineup? Doesn't do anything wrong. Never does anything wrong. Like, I loved him.
Yeah. A lot of guys really enjoyed him as the year went on. I mean, he's another year older, and he's not the kind of guy that I think is built to play that way for 82 games, but that's why they signed him, is for the playoffs, and that's what they got.
Yeah.
So who do you... for the crush goals, too.
Who do you think is going to be this year's disappointing player?
Oh, Lucic, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, that's...
But that's kind of an easy one, but I feel like he's pretty well out of road as an NHL player. I mean, I had said last year, down the stretch, I felt he should have been rested some to be better for the playoffs. They didn't rest him once, which I thought was a mistake.
We and you were on the same page there.
Yeah, I think he can be effective when used properly, but he's not, you know, he's got a lot of miles on him. He's surprisingly quick for his size and his age, but he's not quick, per se.
Two in, one out, two in, one out, one in, two out. Yeah, I'm with you.
He was great at the beginning of the year. He had like 7 or 8 goals, you know, 5-hole most of the time.
We talked about that all year last year, though. Me and you would go back and forth on that, and I think people thought I had people tell me we were crazy for that. And I'm like, I think we're dead on that.
Yeah,
he looked like
he just didn't look good at all down the stretch.
At all. Okay, I'm going to preface my disappointing player by saying, and we just talked about it, that things can't go as smoothly as they did last year.
No.
And I don't know that that's a bad thing. Like, that may benefit us.
It's going to benefit somebody, I think, because if somebody slips up or gets hurt or whatever happens, somebody else has an opportunity to seize that spot, right?
So my disappointing player, and I don't want this to be a hurdle, and I pray to God I'm wrong on this, but I'm worried that Tyler Toffoli is going to be our disappointing player.
Well, so far you'd be right, based on what I've seen and read, and he hasn't fit in like they hoped. I don't know that he, and this is partly why I indicated like to see Mangiapane try to on that top line. He hasn't really asserted himself, not to say that he won't, but I still think he's going to land 50 to 60 points at the most. I don't see him scoring 70-some alongside these guys that are probably going to have 80, 90, like Lindholm and Huberto, right?
I'd take 50.
It's not bad, but it kind of reminds me of when Dean McAmmon was floating along with Conroy and Aguilla way back in 01, 02. It's not that he can't do it. It's just that, man, there'd be some better pieces to have there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
still a very useful player, but I think relative expectations, I could see him being disappointing.
That's my fear. Rookie sensation, do you have one?
That's a tough one because I kind of don't.
I don't either. I wrote none. I don't think we're going to have one. Now, if the injury bug bites us, do I see a Phillips coming up? Probably not. Do I? You know who I could see getting a call up, and wouldn't mind it? Walker Dewar.
Yeah, he played a game. Was it one game last year or two?
I think he had a couple. I could see him getting a chance. I could see Connor Zary getting a chance.
I think Zary will get a chance, yeah. I don't think he'd be a rookie now, but I mean, I'd have to check his stat line, but Connor Mackey.
He's considered a rookie, I think.
Is he? I was just a little concerned because of his age, but if Shillington isn't back soon, he's in the opening night lineup. I think Stone's going to get a contract. He'll be your 7th D. But I think Connor Mackey, people are sleeping on just how good that guy is, and he's had a fantastic training camp.
I loved him in Minnesota Mankato. He was a stud for them. Yeah.
That was a big coup when they signed him out of college. Like that was a really big deal at the time.
There's a lot
It was him and Pullman's younger brother, and he's been a decent pro. But Mackey is the one that had all the accolades, right?
I'll tell you what. Man, we're not going to get off on this tangent too long because this show is going to go forever tonight. But Minnesota State Mankato has got some good hockey players. There's a kid named Andre Pavel that's playing on there if he can keep improving on his skating, he's going to be one of those guys that gets signed. I know him pretty well. He's a good hockey player. And their goaltender, Keenan Ransier, a British Columbia kid, is really good, too. So that's a team you got to keep an eye on. Every year, Fan 960 tends to have a whipping boy on their postgame show. It was Noah Hanifin one year. It was Sam Bennett for 2 years. It was Sean Monahan last year. Who do you think the whipping boy on the Fan 960 call-in show is going to be this year?
It's kind of a tricky one because there's been a fair amount of roster turnover. I could see it being Toffoli.
Yeah?
To be honest.
That's a good one.
I think he's going to get some flack because I think he is going to struggle to keep up with his line mates. I mean, and I don't want to be too hard on the guy because, I mean, the guy's a proven winner.
God, I hope he proves us wrong. I hope he proves
us wrong. And I hope so, too. I just, when you look up and down that lineup, like, you got to remember, too, with the whipping boy, they always hone in on the guys that are expected to do really well. Yeah. Nobody's going to call in and bitch about Trevor Lewis all year, you know, because he doesn't have a big enough role to warrant it.
You know who I penciled in as the whipping boy this year? Noah Hanifin.
Really?
Pisses me off. Nope. Pisses me off, but they will. People will bitch about him.
Man, people, he's been so good.
I know people, fans, this fan base, freaking thinks he should score every night or something. I don't know what I don't know why their expectations for Noah Hanifin are like elite defenseman. And people forget all the time. He's not old. He's not even close to old.
No.
But the expectations were so high on him. I don't get it. I don't get it. All right, let's speak.
I think he's great, but I agree. He gets way too much flack, and, it's frustrating.
What player do you think we're going to miss the most this year? Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Monahan, or Gabranson?
I love the fact that Branson's even on that list. That's great.
That's who I picked. I think we're going to miss Gabranson the most.
What? Why? Because just because, I mean, all the other guys have been, you know, replaced with guys who are similar in their skill set?
Yes.
Okay, then I can accept that.
I think Gaudreau and Huberto are going to be a wash. I think Tkachuk and Kadri, God willing, are going to be a wash.
Yeah.
Sean Monahan, how hard is it going to be to replace him? Because I love Sean Monahan. He was one of my favorite Flames. But he hasn't done anything because he's been injured. So how hard is it going to be? Adam Rziska could replace him. And Gabranson, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to compare it to Uyghur, yeah, I know Uyghur's going to do it. But I think you got to look at, like, either Mackey or one of those guys is going to have to fill that role.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can respect that. I'm going to go with Gaudreau just because it doesn't matter if it's Huberto or anybody else. Like, Gaudreau was so exciting when he did those special things with the puck, right? And that's not going to be replaced. There's still going to be some beautiful plays. And, you know, Huberto is an unbelievable playmaker, and I understand all that. But in terms of just moments, when you really look at some of the plays that Gaudreau made in his time at Calgary, like, I think that's what the fans have missed the most. He was so exciting to watch. Exciting to watch. And that's why the Columbus Blue Jackets fan base, they're in for a real treat because that team really needed a star player to... And I mean, Laine is great. He's got a wicked shot. But you want to see creativity. You want to try and make somebody into a hockey fan. You know, you just point at him and say, watch this guy. So I think we're going to miss him the most.
Yeah, I respect that. Will Markstrom eliminate the Edmonton Oiler curse this year?
Oh, God, I hope so. And I think so. I think that he will. I don't really have any reason to back that up. You know, maybe that fancy new lid of his will do it, but he's going to, he pretty well has to, and for this team to hit the next level. And he's too talented not to be able to figure that out. But it's interesting to see, like, the other night when Vladar played against him, made some pretty nice saves. I remember sitting there thinking, like, could Markstrom have stopped that, or would he have stopped that? You know, McDavid with a partial break kind of thing. Like, I don't know.
I know.
Well, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think he's going to break it?
Yeah, and I think they need to play him in all three games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you don't. I mean, you've got to force it to go away.
If he gets shelled in all three and they meet in the playoffs, what do?
You put him out there.
Yeah? Wow. Going down with a ship. Impressive.
Well, he's your guy, man.
So if
he goes out and he goes out and wins game one, all's good then, right? Fans forget that like that.
He did that last year, but that game was 9-6.
Okay. How many games does Markstrom start this year?
I'm hoping and I'm thinking 55 to 60. Any more than that, I think, is too much.
I wrote 58. I would not go more than that.
Yeah, I hope that they don't. And there's no reason they wouldn't. I mean, the Vladar's a great goaltender.
Who has more points this year, Huberto or Gaudreau?
Oh, Huberto. Huberto, because he has much better line mates. I know what Gaudreau's got to deal with in Columbus. I think he's still going to have a good year. I don't think it's going to be, like, a big, big difference. But Huberto's just going to have a better couple of teammates on his line, in my mind, anyway.
Who has more points, Kadri or Tkachuk?
That one's a little more interesting. I think Tkachuk crashes back down to earth, but I think Kadri does too. I think Tkachuk, but not by a lot.
I wrote Huberto by a fair amount. I wrote Kadri by maybe a point. Like, that's going to be a wash.
But the second one is a lot more. But Kadri Tkachuk is a lot more comparable to me. There's a lot of variables around John Gaudreau and Jonathan Huberto, so interesting to see.
Special teams this year. Last year, our power play was 10th in the league, 22.9. Are we better or worse this year?
Better with Uyghur. And I assume Uyghur's going to get a fair amount of play time. And I think, you know, Huberto Gaudreau, as far as the power play goes, is very comparable.
But I love Anderson or Hanifin on the second pairing. Love it.
Yeah, and it's maybe Michael Stone. He's killing it in the preseason.
Good point. We might have the best. Yeah, no kidding. Penalty kill last year was 6th in the league, 83.2. Better or worse?
marginally worse, like eighth in the league probably. I mean, once you get up to six, I mean, it's kind of a wash. Okay, so you're 82.1, and the team ahead of you is 82.9. You know what I mean? So
I put worse just because of law of averages. I mean,
tough. But that's what I mean. It's still they're both special teams are still going to be top 10 this year. I have every reason to believe they will be. Yeah. But I think the PK is just going to tumble a couple spots, nothing major.
All right, time to shift gears and talk about the cuts that we've seen this week. All right, a whole bunch of guys get sent down to the Wranglers this week as Duer, Klapka, I mean, a whole crew of them, Pelche, Zari, Sutter, Schwint. Then we saw Dance go down, Bishop, Matthew Phillips, who cleared waivers to go down, Colton Poolman, everybody, I mean, tons of guys go down, and we're left with 28. I know me and you talked a little bit about this, and I want to get your take
on... You want to start a fight, that's what you want to do.
No. No, I just want to get your take on it. I mean, I'm going to be... I'll preface it. I'm not surprised at all. I just wasn't. I wasn't surprised at all.
I wasn't surprised. I was disappointed. And again, there's a few different ways to look into this, but I felt that Phillips in particular had earned the right to stay in that camp longer, certainly over Milano, who's on a PTO, but has NHL pedigree. You know, and Sutter said this in the comments. Sutter said, you know, there's guys that are no longer here that outperform guys that are still here because of, you know, contract or whatever. So you can make the argument, and I think you had said something to this effect about how, you know, you don't want to get a guy's hope up if you're going to cut him anyway, right? I think there's something to be said for a few of those guys getting a little bit more leash, and I know they're going to be amongst the first potential call-ups, but I'm surprised guys like Phillips went down and guys like Milano are still in camp.
I think Milano is just going to get the full PTO and then take a hike.
Do you think he'll sign somewhere else?
No.
Cheap deal?
I don't think he's earned it. I think he's going to end up signing a...
Somebody will take a flyer on him, though. He's too skilled. I mean, I don't think he's going to go to Europe. Somebody will throw a contract on him for a year, right?
I don't know. Maybe. There's just not a lot of cap space available.
Yeah, true, but he's not going to take much because he hasn't done anything, like you said. So
Good point.
So, I mean, we can look at it either way, but, I mean, as far as the cuts go, I mean, they are what they are. I'm very pleased to see that Kevin Rooney had a much better game. And after digging a bit deeper in the player, I think there's more potential there. So I'm not going to be as hard on him anymore. I think
the new
Big Z from Pittsburgh on waivers also changed the discussion a little bit. So,
like, I get that we want our prospects to move up and be successful. But I think we have to look at it a little bit differently in the fact that, for once, we have a roster that's hard to make.
Yeah,
I think I look at that as a positive. I mean, crappy teams force prospects into places they shouldn't be. Good teams don't have to. Do these guys get a shot this year? Heck yeah. I think for sure. There's no way we play 82 games unscathed like we did last year. They're going to get a shot.
Not for sure.
They're going to get a shot. And you know what? I think a couple of them are ready for a shot. And I would not even be surprised if one of them pulled the Theo Fleury and grabbed it and was a key part of this team down the stretch. I wouldn't even be surprised.
Well, that's the other thing that good teams do, right? The younger players are always a part of those winning teams. Mm-hmm. There's always two or three young guys in the team that force their way onto the roster and make a lot of noise. So, mm-hmm. And I think that's partly what Calgary's missing. And
we could have Connor Mackey and Zari.
Yeah, it just frustrates me when guys like Brett Ritchie are gifted contracts and they've never played particularly well to begin with, and they can go in and score the occasional goal and bang and crash, but you know they're killing the game possession wise. Just like, I just don't like guys being gifted jobs because they're veterans or because they're good in the room and that kind of stuff. It drives me crazy.
I agree. I think the reason Sutter did that is it's called a safety net. Because he can put Ritchie on waivers, and it's not going to haunt us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get that,
but
too.
If he calls like, up, yeah, like but if he team. Calls, but if he takes a rookie initially, and things go haywire, and they have to send him down, and he has to clear waivers, then we have to worry about him getting claimed. If we have him down there right away, do you know what I mean? Like, I understand the safety nets. I understand it. And I also kind of accepted the fact that that's a Sutter way.
Well, it's the team's way. Whether it's Sutter or anybody else, the team's done this and somebody put that on Twitter, oh, it's a different coach, a different GM. Well, yeah, sure, fine, but the pattern is still there. This team is always, anytime they've been in any way competitive, they preferred league minimum tweener NHLers to a high-end prospect.
But you know what, though? Kylan, you might disagree with me on this. And I was having a conversation with Marty Murray about this one time. And I looked him in the eye and I said, you know, if you look at the last two decades of the Flames, we've absolutely sucked at drafting. And he laughed and he looked at me and he goes, that's who drafted me.
Yeah, exactly.
And he kind of laughed and he's like, you're right, though. He goes, I mean, we look at
Daniel Tkachuk, Rico Fatta.
The list goes on and on and on and on of failures.
But they're not that bad at drafting anymore. They had been for the longest time, and there's still some misses.
We've improved drastically in the last 6 years.
Drastically, but the philosophy hasn't caught up with that yet, in my mind anyway.
But the talent pool's working at there now. Like, you can start drafting better 6 years ago, and some of those now are starting to filter in, and we have seen that with Mangiapane, and I mean, we have seen that, Dubé. So they're coming. It's just, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I just,
well, there's arguments to be made all around. I mean, the good thing is as you said, we are drafting better. And I don't want to discount that these veteran players have a purpose. I just feel like it's not a meritocracy. It's like he's been around. Here's a contract. Like, mm-hmm. Brett Ritchie did not deserve a contract over Michael Stone. I'll put it that way.
No, but you know what? And I hate to say this, but I think the Flames are leveraging Stone not wanting to play anywhere other than Calgary.
Absolutely.
And let's talk about PTOs. Yeah. There's three of them. I think Stone's making it, and I think he might get a two-way deal only because they have him. They know he's not going anywhere. He said it. He said it in a postgame that he's not going anywhere.
Well, not only that, he's put him a two-way deal. He's not going to gang-riddled Stockton. He's staying in Calgary.
He's staying in Calgary.
For the Wranglers.
Where his family is. Yeah. It's perfect. We bitch in Canada all the time that nobody wants to come and play for our teams. I mean, you look at, we got, this is a godsend. Like, teams are going crazy for this.
I think they moved that team for Michael Stone.
They probably did, because he wouldn't do it. If this was in Stockton, it would be a one-way deal or he'd be gone.
Yeah.
Retired. Yeah. And now he's, this is perfect. This is a dream come true for us. It's a dream come true. I think Eakin's history, I think Milano's history, I think they both deserve to be history.
I agree. I don't think there's any argument to be made otherwise for that.
Flames?
No, but Eakin has such great flow. Shut up.
Yeah. It looks like a moron with that tinted visor. Jesus. Flames waiver pickup from Pittsburgh, Radams Zahorna. Is that right?
As far as I know.
He's a big guy, 6'6", 220 pounds, 26 years old. He's got 25 games of NHL experience. You don't sign a waiver guy unless you think he's going to crack the team. I think he's going to get a shot. I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't know what I feel on it. I have no idea what I feel. I got to watch him. I don't know.
Well, he has that one thing working against him that every player his size has when he leaves the team, goes to a different one, is the fans of his prior team, in this case Penguins fans, say, oh, he's not physical enough. He's not physical enough. It's like, okay, so it's like, because he's 6'6", they expect him to just tear people's heads off and drink their blood or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
He's not, like, the days of people going out there to take everybody's head off are gone, and thank God, because of concussions and everything we know about them. It remains to be seen. I think he's good at protecting the puck along the boards. He seems like he's got decent hockey sense. He put up, I want to say, 12 points in those games you mentioned.
I think so.
Like, pretty decent clip. I mean, a 30-40 point pace over a prorated full season.
He had 10 points in 25 games. 4 goals, 6 assists.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I hope he can fight better than Klapka, though.
Yeah, Klapka, yeah.
Did you see that fight?
Oh, yeah, I did. Like, well, that was a big ask, too, right, from to take that fight on. So
that looked like me fighting.
Yeah, remember, I can't believe this guy's a full-time player in Florida, Ryan Lomberg, when he fought Buddy in Long Island.
He's a horse, though. I mean, that guy.
Yeah, he's from PEI. Ross. I can't think of his freaking name. Anyway, that was a mess. He got ragdolled bad.
Yeah.
Ross Johnson. Yeah, that was a mess.
Didn't even
Yeah, I think, like you said, like you don't pick up a guy in waivers, especially at this juncture, though, thinking he's going to make your team. And I think that he will. He's apparently has pretty decent hands, too.
Yeah. I'm interested to watch him. I know he played tonight. I think he played tonight. I'm not 100% sure if he played tonight.
Quite sure he did.
I know
he
skated. I know he skated today. Although the score doesn't look real good tonight. It's 5-0. So hopefully Friday night's game goes a little bit better than tonight. Let's talk about.
Well has to.
Let's talk about that preseason.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, we're going to preview what's left of the preseason. Get the heck out of here, let you guys get back to your evenings as Wednesday tonight. Calgary's in Winnipeg, 5-0 in the third, not a lot to talk about there. Friday night we wrap up the preseason as Winnipeg comes to the Saddle Dome, and I'm guessing we're going to see Markstrom. I'm guessing we're going to see a preview of opening night roster. What's your thoughts, Kyle?
Oh, I would think so, especially after the most recent round of cuts. I mean, the decisions are written in pencil and started to be written in pen. I think that's exactly what's going to be.
Yeah, me too. And then we get 5 days off before we open that regular season game. A home game against the Stanley Cup champions a week from the day this podcast releases. And, it's going to be exciting. Then we follow it up with a Saturday Night Hockey Night in Canada up in Alberta, as that is always quite the night. So when we get to go up to Alberta, that's going to be a lot of fun. Only 3 times this year. That sucks. But
So here's a quick question since we're talking about this. What about naming a captain? Do you think we do it?
No. Why?
Wow, that was quick. Didn't give any thought at all. I don't know. It's kind of cool. I like the way Huberto's acclimatized to Calgary and how much he's jumped into being.
I do too. I really do. I really do. But I also like what Michael Backlund brings, and I don't think it hurts to wait till midseason.
Yeah, I get
it. What do you have to lose? If you pick one too early and it's wrong, you're screwed. If you're patient and you wait it out till you know you got the right answer, then you're not so much screwed.
Maybe they have that answer. Training camp. That's what it's for.
I know. Maybe. I like what Huberto's done. I do. I really like what Huberto has brought to this team. I don't think we could ask for better. So far, so good. Kyle, we're back next week, aren't we? We're going to preview.
We sure are.
We are going to preview the opening night against the Colorado Avalanche and that Edmonton Battle of Alberta. Flames fans, get on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please rate and review us on our podcast. 5 stars are great. We love it. Be honest, though. We appreciate all of them, though. We really do. Thanks in advance for going and taking the time to do that. Get to know us on Twitter. Both the hosts are on Twitter. I'm at Brad Brood. Kyle's at VanLewis14. Check us out at flamesunfiltered.com. And, yeah, we're back again next week for another edition of Flames Unfiltered.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood.
And co-host Kyle Lewis on Twitter at VanLewis14.
If you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.